Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I want to read a verse to you that comes out of Revelation chapter 22. Listen to it. It's Jesus speaking. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, this is one of the last verses in the Bible. Chapter 22 of Revelation is the last chapter. Verse 21 is the last verse. And so we're very much toward the end of God's revealed word when Jesus makes this statement. And I think it's interesting that he's talking about two things that at one time were commonly referred to in sermons and teaching, but we seldom hear sermons or teachings about these anymore. And what are those two things? The second coming of Christ and the fact that he rewards people according to what they have done. Years ago, and I mean 40 years ago, when I first became a follower of Christ, I would hear some sermons on the second coming of Jesus and the whole idea of rewards that come to us in eternity. But I'd have to be honest, it's been years since I've heard anybody talk about it, and it's been years since I've talked about it. What about you? Have you heard anybody preaching or teaching recently on the second coming of Jesus, or the fact that when Jesus comes, he's going to bring rewards with him for those that have served him? I sure haven't. And yet, the fact that it's here toward the end of God's revealed word tells us something about its importance in the teachings of Jesus. And I want to share with you that there are a lot of things that Jesus said that had to do with both his returning and the fact that when he does come, that he will be rewarding those who have served with him. You know, when I was a young boy, I was able to pick up a job mowing the grass at the parsonage of a little Methodist church in Gastonville, Pennsylvania. And I would go down and I would use the pastor's mower, which was a rotary motor, which means there was no motor on it. You just pushed it along, and as you did, it would clip the grass. I don't know how much he paid me. Probably a dollar or two for cutting his whole lawn clear back there over, 55 years ago. But I remember one particular day when I was cutting his lawn, I could picture in my mind exactly where I was standing. I was in his side yard, and across a very narrow alley was the church itself. Now, I got to set this up. The pastor was a real Bible-thumping, preaching pastor, and he could preach Hell's Fire pretty good. But he also would preach regularly on what he called the rapture. And the rapture is this idea that someday there's going to be a trumpet sound and Jesus is going to take to heaven all of his followers and they're going to disappear from the face of the earth. And then the earth will go through a series of calamities and it'll be a very difficult time with tribulation, with outpourings of disease. And then eventually the Lord will come back. There will be a great white throne judgment and Jesus then will separate sheep from goats, and the goats go into the lake of fire, and the sheep go to heaven with Jesus. Well, he had preached a sermon on the rapture, and he would talk about how all of a sudden there will be people together, and some of them will disappear, and that all you'd see would be their clothes lying there on the ground. And I remember in one of the times that we attended church, he preached that sermon, and it really kind of scared me. The whole idea that Jesus would come and poof, people would be gone, and boy, that would introduce this age of great turmoil. Well, with that in mind, a few days after I'd heard one of those sermons, I was cutting his grass. My mind wasn't on the sermon at all. I'm sure my mind was on sports or other kinds of things that I was happy to go do as soon as I would finish pushing this motorless lawnmower across the grass. And all of a sudden, a sonic boom occurred. It absolutely terrorized me. And I can remember standing there almost breathless. And my first thought was, did Jesus come back and take everybody with him? And I've been left here by myself. It was quite a frightening thought. And I think I did a lot of repenting and praying and pleading. And I was very happy when a few moments later, I saw the pastor of the church drive his car up into the garage, because I was pretty sure that if it had been the second coming of Jesus, or this rapture as he referred to it, that the pastor would have gone. And the fact that he hadn't let me know that it was something else other than Jesus coming. But I remember how afraid I was. You know, back then in this little church and in other churches, they would sing songs about the second coming of Jesus. One of them was called Coming Again, Coming Again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Jesus is coming again. They had another song that was, again, a gospel chorus. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. And then it wasn't too much longer after that, when I was in college, that a singer named Larry Norman put together a song, and it had to do with Jesus coming and how that there'd be two men walking up a hill. One is taken, one left standing still. And then the chorus line was this, I wish you'd all been ready. It was all about this idea that Jesus, at some point, was going to return to earth. And when he does, he's going to restore all things. You know that even in the ascension, in Acts chapter 1, when the disciples saw Jesus leave and go into heaven, and then they stood there, that angels came to them and basically said that he's going to come back. But now get about the business that Jesus told you to do. And so this whole idea of Jesus and the second coming was right at the heart of the gospel message, and people would think about it, and they would talk about it, and they would share about it. And there are so many scriptures that relate to this idea of Jesus returning. Jesus himself made this comment that he would return again, and that when he returned, he would restore all things. Part of the idea of him making a new heaven and a new earth. It actually says that, by the way, in Acts chapter 3, that heaven must receive Jesus until the time comes for God to restore everything, just as was promised long ago through the holy prophets, which is a promise that was made even in the book of Isaiah, a new heaven, a new earth. And Jesus would talk about this, and he would tell stories about a master who goes away, and that his servants are there serving for him, and then someday he returns to give an account. And he tells his followers to keep watch. You don't know what the day will be when Jesus will come back. He then went on and talked about servants, and he said this, be dressed, be ready for service. Keep your lamps burning, waiting for the master return for the wedding banquet. All of this was indicative of the fact that Jesus was teaching that he came, and there he dies on the cross and is resurrected, but he goes to heaven, and that he would return someday. Jesus, our Lord, he will return someday. Paul talked about this. He said to eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus to be revealed, to come again. Peter talked about the hastening coming of the day of the Lord. And even Philippians, Paul went so far and said, eagerly await the day of his return. Jesus, in one of his teachings, said this, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. He's saying to his followers that this idea of his return is an integral part of the whole message of the gospel of Christ. And that's why he goes on and he teaches about faithful servants who are found doing what it is that their master wanted them to do, and that they were to keep watch because they'd never know when it was that he would return. Wow. That's an amazing teaching. And it's right at the heart of the gospel message. It's even part of the Apostles' Creed that Jesus will come again to judge the quick and the dead, those that are living and those who have gone on before. And it just came to me as such a central teaching, and we hardly talk about it or daydream about it or imagine it. And so I began to think about that someday the clouds are going to open, the trumpet's going to sound, and Jesus is going to return. And when he returns, he will initiate a new heaven and a new earth. And then he will turn to those that have followed him, and they will reign and they will rule with Christ. And at that point, there will be no more tears, and there will be no more disease, and there will be no more conflicts, and we will be free. What an amazing, amazing teaching that Jesus gives us. On that day when Jesus comes back, evil will be ultimately defeated. And there will be a great banquet where we will be able to spend time with all those that have gone before. And I know in my own life, some of the emotional issues that I often struggle with and carry will be done with because Jesus will come back. Now, the question that we ask ourselves is, does this particular teaching, the second coming of Christ, make any difference? And as I've thought about it, yeah, even though I've probably not taught or done much with it, at least lately, this is a huge issue. I mean, the Lord himself says to his followers, be watchful, be ready. Make sure your heart's aligned with him. Be found faithful when he returns. In the meantime, care for those that are hurting and struggling. Remember that Jesus said that it is ours to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked and to give those that are thirsty something to drink. This whole idea of Jesus returning and that there is going to be eternal life on the other side, a life of freedom, it should impact the degree to which we fear death, the idea that we're ultimately given eternal life in Jesus Christ, and that it also should give us great hope, strength for the journey. You know, I was thinking about, again, all the vitriol and violence and the ugliness that's going on in our world today, and it's horrible. Murders and robbery and death and disease and tornadoes, and all of a sudden I realized, as painful as that is, someday Jesus will come back. And when he does, he will renew all things. He will restore God's reign and rule. And it gives us such great hope. So guess what? I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming back. He was here. He went to heaven. But he's coming back. And for those of us that follow him, it should bring delight and joy and hope to our hearts as we consider that reality. And maybe we'll begin to hum a tune again that Jesus is coming soon, maybe morning or night or noon. Why don't you think about that with me? God bless you. Until we're together again.